We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Hump day, fellas. What? Guess what day it is?
Oh man.
Oh man. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Losers Lounge.
Womp.
Womp. Womp. Womp. Nuggets fall to the Phoenix Suns. They got mundered, fellas.
Dude, what a. At home.
The Nuggets hate us. That's what it is. Is they hate us.
They
in the regular
us.
Season, they hate us.
If I were PHNX, I would just pipe in our footage. I would just play this thing.
104-97. Nuggets get mundered by the defensive stalwart Suns, who featured no Nurkic tonight, but still held Denver to just 97 points. Is it a bad matchup? We'll talk about that. I will say there's one silver lining real quick, guys. I don't know if you've been on the internet, especially social media like Twitter. Lakers fans furious tonight.
Why?
Because they want to catch the Suns, and then they're watching because they say the Nuggets always focus in when they play the Lakers and then never have a game like this when it's against them. I think that's one's a little silver lining. It's kind of funny.
Okay.
You don't like that one?
Lakers? I mean, not really. No, I don't care. Right. I don't. Those two fan bases are... They're
the same fan base, actually. One's just the suburb of the other. To help me out with it tonight, Brennan Vogt.
Thank God for the Losers Lounge. Something's got to humble us, fellas. Something's got to humble us. And you know what? I think sometimes our best analysis pops up after a loss. We'll see. We'll find out together.
You gotta be humbled every now and then. We're eating some humble pie over here. D-Line Co's in the house.
I'm full. I don't want any more humble pie. I thought I was done with humble pie. I ate a lot of it for 40 years of life.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, great.
That was just pie.
No, it wasn't. Every pie I ate was humble pie. I ate humble apple pie, humble hamburgers. Everything about my life was humble. I'm ready to be a jerk. I said this proudly.
Ready.
The Nuggets don't want me to be a jerk. They don't want me to just overflow with confidence and be a jerk. Whatever, fine. I got it. I'll be a jerk. I won't be a jerk.
Rounding out the show, Superstar Dev.
This was a game of checkers, not chess, and I love chess. But I also love checkers. But I've never really played
checkers. Do you play checkers?
I've never played a red and a black.
Okay.
I think you'd be good at checkers.
You could hop over things and stuff.
What the hell are we talking about? Off the rails already. Fast breakdown here. Oh, God, we have to relive this one. It's going to be short, guys. Short and sweet.
Please.
Suns started 5 of 6 from 3. That was the story. Sometimes the first note is the story.
Hey.
They were on fire tonight from 3. They finished 48.5%, 16 of 33. But they started even hotter than that. Hard doubles on Jokic, so you got no Murray tonight. So you got to expect the hard double. You're going to have a lot of kickouts. Jokic had 4 assists early, but he kept throwing passes to guys. For 3, clank. For layups, brick. They got great looks to start, man. That rhythm was over, and I feel like it threw him in a funk. 29-29 at the end of 1. You don't win the Jokic minutes, so it's bench time. And what happens with the bench? totally killed.
Wait, that's what you got?
That's what I had.
Wait, I'm looking totally at the plus murdered. Minus.
Yeah, that was rough. Bench got out-rebounded. They kept giving up second chance points. They kept giving up points. And then they couldn't score. The bench could not score.
So pathetic.
It was pathetic, man. Jokic back in at the 8-minute mark, so he gets a 4-minute rest. Go save us. Malone had two rage timeouts in a row. Do you guys even remember this? He had one to get Jokic in the game.
I do remember
Then he had another one after one possession with Jokic in the game. He was so mad at Michael Porter on that one. Nuggets cut it to 2, though. They did rally back, but the Suns immediately pushed it back to 7, 59-52 at the half. Third quarter, my first note, Nuggets don't look they have it. Don't look like they have it tonight. Down 15. An egregious miscall by the refs in which Devin Booker hit both KCP in the face, made him bleed, and he drove across Jokic's body, resulted in no foul.
Oh, he almost touched the ball, though.
Almost touched the ball. No foul. Phoenix Suns ball. I thought maybe a turning point because the Nuggets were pissed. And, in fact, it was. They cut it to 3 after that. But guess what? Suns pushed it right back up to 11 with some hot shooting. 73-83 Suns. Go into the fourth quarter. Nuggets immediately getting blown out. Yoke checks back in, makes no difference. Game over. That's my fast breakdown. Dev, Red Hawk Roofing wants to know what your big takeaway is.
My Red Hawk Roofing big takeaway is Jamal, get back healthy. Like, he's already been out for a couple of games. We've got to see what the Nuggets look like without their starting point guard. And in these type of games, it's I mean, you could see how much he's missed, how much they truly need him, and like how much of the focal point he is for this team around Nikola Jokic. The Suns kind of had a game plan going into this, and I mean, we're going to talk about it later, but they are a really good matchup for the Nuggets, especially when they're down their point guard. So you want them to lick their wounds and get ready for war. I'm ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, well, for the playoffs, really. We were going to say Friday night's game, but even that one, it's like, I don't know. This game should have felt like a big one. Denver clearly didn't take it that seriously. But you're hit on something, Devin. It sucks. Murray always beats the Suns. Oh. What are they, like 17-3 all time against, or 14-3, something like that? But the Nuggets never win without Murray against the Suns. Really, really a double-edged one there. D-Line, what's your big takeaway? Red Hawk Groovy.
I'm disgusted by the effort that was given by the Denver Nuggets tonight. They were so outplayed in such mundane ways.
It really was such a good way to put it.
You know, it's like they're just like outreach. Like, Jokic doesn't at all try to take advantage of Drew Eubanks. Like, it was just like they slept walked through this. They didn't take it seriously at all. They just wasted all of our time. It's the end of the season. It doesn't matter. It does matter. Like, they got mundered by the Suns. Do you know how ridiculous that is? Like,
yeah.
Of all of the things the Suns are, a team that's going to hold you under 100 points on your home court is not one of their calling cards. That's like not what they're all about. The bench was just atrocious.
Yeah.
Just like laughably terrible. Couldn't get rebounds.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't. We were so impressed by so many of the bench players over the last two games with no real competition. Now some actual competition comes, they turn right back into pumpkins. It's so true. But again, this is just one game out of 82. You can't put too much meaning on it, but it was gross and it sucked. And I'm mad at them, and I expect them to write me a personal apology letter. I'll be waiting.
That's a really nice point about the competition, because you get that terrible Memphis squad. You get that Portland squad, and you're like, oh, man, CB.
Yeah, totally.
P-Watt, they're back.
They're back.
Gillespie, baby. Man, should he get more run? And then you go up against an actual squad, and it's like, maybe not. Big takeaway?
I thought the Nuggets let the Suns decide what this game was. So from the energy to the pace to the urgency, and then finally all the way down to Denver's play style. So yep. Denver got 40 threes up tonight. They shot 10 of 40. Denver has three-point shooters. We've seen them hit a ton of threes. Yeah. We've also seen them win games when the threes aren't falling. Rarely do we see them just keep shooting them. It's actually one of the reasons why I love the Nuggets' chances in a playoff setting, less contingent upon shooting 40% on high volume than the other teams. And when they don't hit them, they have other, you know, they've got other punches to throw. Tonight, they never threw other punches. They just kept throwing that one, and they kept whiffing. And ultimately, even still, the starters survived. The bench was just so bad tonight. But I think, like, what you would see ideally in game one of this series is Denver show a little more urgency in terms of dictating.
Right.
And, like, they're not going to – they would play the way they want to play. And tonight, Phoenix came in the more desperate team and they were like, look, here's how this game's going to go. And Denver said, that's fine with us. And that part is rare to me. Denver, or at least since the break, Denver saying that's fine with us. So it came down to three pointers. But again, it's not just shot luck. It's that Denver fell for it. And that's, or was complacent in it. And to me, that's my big takeaway.
I think it's a really good big takeaway. The style thing, Denver always dictates pace, dictates style, dictates those things. So when they don't, it really stands out. Now you're missing Murray. That's obviously a big part of it. And you, the difference between a Jamal Murray style game and a Reggie style game is so it's not like some teams, the backup, oh, there's a guy that's kind of like that other guy. So it's, you just plug him in. Reggie, completely different than Jamal Murray. So that's part of it. But my big takeaway, which plays off of yours, is who controls the tempo? Who controls the pace of the games with the Denver Nuggets? Why do they always do it? Because Jokic. You can't speed him up. You play his pace. Tonight, they were going to hard double Jokic. And we've seen Jokic beat the hard double as a scorer, as an aggressive player. Tonight, he seemed to be, nope, passive kickouts. Let's get things going. And I don't know if he got frustrated with some of his teammates early on. I don't know if he got frustrated with the strategy. I don't know if he was frustrated coming into tonight. But for whatever reason, he didn't seem interested in setting that tone or beating it. Nope. And I just felt like the rest of the team was kind of the quintessential play of tonight. Colin Gillespie's on the court. Jokic's inside and he throws it to Jokic inside. Jokic kicks it back out. Do you remember this one? Like the ball goes to Jokic and then kicks out to Colin. And Colin's like, right back at you, big fella. You're in the paint right in front of the rim. And he's like, no, you shoot it. You're open from three, which is true. The Jackie Moon special. But it's like, yes, Colin Gillespie is open for three. Right. You're in the paint being guarded by Thad Young. Just score it.
Yep.
And he didn't want to tonight. And Jokic, we never understand Jokic. He's a mystery. He always delivers for us when it matters. But there are these weird nights where you're like, why is he being so passive tonight? And for whatever reason, it seemed deliberate. And as a result, Denver got 97 points. So Jokic had Thad Young on him half the night. He had Eubanks on him the other night. Both of those guys are giving up a ton of size. Yes, there was a double coming, but come on. Come on. Jokic scores through a double against, like, great defenders, not against those guys. And tonight, he just didn't even try.
The buckets he did score, it was like, wait, you could have done that this entire time.
He didn't try. Like, he never forced a shot. Or he only had 16 shots tonight. And I love Jokic for his unselfishness, but you're missing Murray. You need more than 16 shots. And he just, I don't know why. Dude, he has his ways. His ways are higher than ours.
The most hilarious thing is there's honestly Suns trolls in the chat.
Really?
Oh my God! It's so precious.
It is gorgeous. Do they see? Do they see that trophy we got when the Nuggets won the championship? No one
fears the Nuggets. Okay,
man. No one fears them. That's cool.
I can't wait till we ask the question.
This actually gets me excited.
I can't wait till we ask the question that's coming.
I love it. Suns fans, welcome in here. It's fun to see what this is what it's like to watch the reigning champion post game show, the reigning champs. But you guys did do a good job in March on Jokic's passiveness.
Yeah, I mean, I do think he was a bit passive, but I'm glad you brought up the point about deliberate. I really do think that he was deliberate in this game. He can score whatever he wants. And in this game, we saw those moments, like Vogt was talking about, of him just, it's easy. I can go down there. I could back him down. I could run the offense through me every single time. But what is that teaching them? Like we got to hear in the last game of him kind of having some excitement of other people getting involved, other people,
right.
You know, being able to score and play the right way. And in this game, people were turning down shots and he's like, no, we haven't been working on that. That's not what we've been doing. Shoot the ball. Because I mean, it is going to come back, later. We got to see him frustrated with like, ISO baskets. So, I mean, Aaron Gordon was taking guys off of the dribble and getting charges. Reggie Jackson taking guys off the dribble and he's dribbling out of bounds. Those different ways. And if you go away from, like, their brand of basketball, those lead to those type of plays. So I think it was more of, like, forcing him, hey, we lost this game already, but I'm going to teach you guys what we've been working on. Because, I mean, we're not – Who knows if Jamal comes back or if he goes down again or anything. You can't use that as an excuse.
Oh, I didn't even thought about that.
You got to be ready for those. So I think that it's more so of, hey, it can't just only be me and that's all it's been when Jamal's not here. You guys do the right thing.
He wanted to keep the team effort thing on a roll. I kind of agree with you, man. I understand it sucks to watch, but you cannot convince me. You simply cannot convince me that if he needed to, he couldn't score on Drew Eubanks and company. And I understand being frustrated and disagreeing with the approach. That's all. Everyone's entitled to that on any given night. But I think Dev might be right as far as what he was going for tonight. I'm with Dev on this.
I think he was. I think he was too because it was so deliberate. But. Yoke again. He always has these principled things when it's like, guys, there's 10 games left. Just win them. Just go out there and win them. As
I'm saying, yeah, I just think he just didn't want to do it tonight.
But why?
Because he's mercurial, and this is what they did the down the stretch last season, and they, you know, the Thunder lost tonight, and I don't know. Man, like,
you think they went at half and saw that score and was like, "Hey, great news!"
I don't
second
know.
Second half, take it off.
Like, I don't know. You don't know why. So you can't explain what's in a man's heart. You don't know why they are motivated or not motivated any given night. The Denver Nuggets just did not look motivated through and through. Like, it just wasn't good process. It wasn't good results. Obviously, Aaron Gordon looked like weak at times. He was getting like knocked over. He looked out of control. It was weird, man. Everybody was just like off kilter, and just they were just playing it like they just weren't not giving the requisite effort. And the Suns cared. The Suns really cared, you know. And I honestly, like, credit to them. They really wanted to win this game, and they did. They played in a way that they needed to, and they made shots when they needed to, and they did all the things that they needed to do. The Nuggets just gave a end of the season effort like they had last year. I just sucks to see, man. But what are you going
to
do?
It really does suck to see. It was funny because we talked about this game like, oh, is Denver, they're resting guys. Are they getting ready for this one? Turns out, no. We're like, okay, they eked out these games against Portland and Memphis. That's because they're preparing for this one, and then it come out. So we expected this one to be like real intense and have a feeling to it, and turns out it didn't have any of that. I mean, I agree with you that Phoenix shot well, and I thought that they, you know, they made an interesting adjustment playing Thad Young a lot more minutes than he has been playing, and playing hard. Him in a role, and he played hard, and he did a really good job. And I don't know, yeah, it just was a lifeless performance from Denver, unfortunately. And you think now, it sounds like you're insinuating that you expect maybe more of these to come.
I mean, I hope not. I'm just saying, like, I've seen this before, and it was like all last season we were like, why, what, and they just didn't want to.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we'll start to get into some of these players specifically, including Michael Porter, who maybe seemed a little distracted tonight. Maybe. I don't know. I'll get your guys' opinion.
All right. In the meantime, it's time to talk to you about, well, it's our friends at Red Hawk Roofing. Come on. We got to go to a working site, hang out with the guys at Red Hawk Roofing and their contracting team. And I like doing that, man, because it's, we trust our sales team. We know we're partnering with great partners and often people who are local in Colorado, but it's so much easier to sit here and sell a product when you've met the people, when you've seen the product and seen the process. And I'll tell you that Red Hawk Roofing, these guys pride themselves on not taking advantage of you. It's an industry where you might not know any better as a customer, and there are plenty of people who take advantage of your lack of knowledge through their practices. It's very important to these guys at Red Hawk Roofing that that's not the case. They want their credibility to be what shines through when their reputation, you know, is talked about in this city. Quality materials, decades of experience, quick response time, the best estimators and contractors, and best of all, huge DNVR supporters. They're big Nuggets fans. If you're looking for a new roof of your home or business, be sure to check out Red Hawk Roofing at redhawkroofing.com. And what else? Tell them that DNVR sent you. Infinity Park hosts the American Raptors and a thriving rugby culture here in the heart of Colorado. The American Raptors, Colorado's only professional rugby team, are back, and you can catch their games on ESPN+. You can follow along, learn more about the game and the team and all the action with our guy Colton Strickler hosting the weekly DNVR rugby podcast. Hit that subscribe button wherever you get your pods. We have watch parties for the teams this year. It's a great place to go and check out games at Infinity Park. Really fun atmosphere. And they're hot right now. The Red Hot American Raptors remain undefeated at home in 2024 after their stunning comeback against second place Yaker. There's no way I'm saying that right. The Raptors will look to extend their win streak.
Yaker? How is it? Hold on.
Yaker?
Say it again.
Yaker?
How would you guess that's spelled?
Yaker?
Yeah.
Do you care?
You care to know?
Yeah, I do. Spell it out. Let's hear.
Yaker.
Y-A-C-A-R-E.
Can we have a country of origin, please?
Yeah. Yaker.
Use it in a sentence.
Oh, my God. You know what? I thought that would be
no,
fun.
No, I just Move did. On. Yeah. Y-A-C-R-E. Anyway, the Raptors will look to extend their win streak against to three games when they return to action at Infinity Park on Sunday, April 7th, against Selknam. Kickoff is 3 p.m. Tickets are only $10, and kids 12 and under are free. Experience an exciting afternoon of rugby in Rugby Town, USA.
All right, back here, segment two, DNVR Nuggets podcast. So let's get into it. Jokic tonight, we talked about 22 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. almost a triple-double, a Sambor double. I believe it was the first loss all year when Jokic gets a Sambor double. We have talked about him already. Let's move over to Michael Porter. 7 of 16 from the field, 18 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. Not a terrible stat line, and yet I feel like it was still kind of a bit of a meh game from him, D-line.
Talking about Michael Porter? Sorry, I was lost in the sauce a little bit.
Michael Porter.
Yeah.
Anybody?
He had some good moments. He had some... Like, there were moments where you're like, all right, cool. Yeah, this is post-All-Star Mike. And then you had some, oh, man, this is pre-All-Star Mike. And I think that was just kind of true of all of the Denver Nuggets. They just had... They showed you at moments what they're capable of, and then just extreme lazy regression. I mean, you kind of hinted maybe there's other... I mean, there's obviously other things swirling around in his life. Perhaps that was weighing on his mind. I don't know. I didn't love anything I saw necessarily.
But it didn't stand out to you as especially bad?
In the context of the Nuggets, no.
Yeah.
It just was as bad as everyone else was.
Yeah, I feel like this was a game that he kind of just missed shots. Like, I think that he was really aggressive. He understood that the double team was coming to Jokic. And, I mean, sometimes he was shot ready, sometimes he wasn't, but he was still getting the shots up. And he made a few that, I mean, I feel like they were not good shots, but they're good shots for him. If he knocks down a couple more threes, we were going to say he had a great night. The thing that I did not like, I didn't feel like he was up for the challenge of the Kevin Durant, of stepping out and being able to guard a Devin Booker and Bradley Beal. So I didn't like the effort on that end of the floor.
Yeah, I agree.
But I do feel like it was just like an off night shooting for all of the Nuggets, so I can't just be on Michael Porter Jr. By himself.
Yeah, I agree with Dev. I thought it was a really bad defensive night for Porter. Offensively, tale of two halves, legitimately good in the first half. He led the Nuggets in points and rebounds heading into halftime offensively, but I didn't think his effort was there defensively. He kind of looked like most other guys out there, just floating around. Yeah. And then second half, on top of those dynamics, he also didn't hit shots. I will say, I think as a whole, the starters played a little better than the way we're describing it, with the large exception of Reggie Jackson. But the idea is that if a team is going to stagger so their starters play against your bench and your bench is getting crunched, the starters have to be so good
right.
that you make up for it. And I would say it's not that the starters were bad tonight. They just weren't so good that they could make up for what Durant and Beal did to the bench. So it was, you know, Porter's 2 of 7 is kind of the biggest part of his night when you look at a team that shot 10 of 40. You know, he tied for the most threes on the team, and he only hit 2. So that's one place you can look, and then defensively could have been better.
You get outscored 2-1 with your bench here, so let's go to the bench. Peyton Watson, 5 points. Colin Gillespie, 8 points. Although Colin mostly staggered with Jokic. And then Christian Brown, 0. Julian Strother, 2. Only 15 points from the bench tonight. Where do you want to start, Dev?
Well, I think that this was a game that Michael Malone experimented with. And that was a recipe for disaster.
I think
that he didn't have a lot to go with, and he wanted to give that a look just to see what it's like. And it went as expected. Not good at all. And that kind of set the tone for the night. I don't think they would have won this game even if the bench was, like, decent just because of how they started the game. But it did not help that they went into a bigger hole when the bench got out there because he tried the 5-man all-bench lineup, which he has not done all year. That's been, like, a big talking point and a big change that he's made this year is just making sure that there's a stagger of somebody. Not having Jamal makes it tough because right. that's who usually the stagger goes with, but that's when you maybe try somebody else. I feel like they had Peyton Watson at the 5 in this game or with that all-bench lineup.
Yeah,
that's true. You're not going to win many games. You're not going to get much out of it, and it's never going to happen again, but I just think he wanted to see what it looks like against a Suns team that was not as big, and it just didn't work out. So I think that that's where you start with the bench.
Is there anybody for you, D-line, that you especially want to talk about off that bench?
I was pretty disappointed in Christian Brown today, like, especially coming off these last two games and especially with the momentum that he's been building. He scored 0 points.
Yeah.
He missed a layup. He got cooked on defense. It was just... you know, and like to Dev's point, you know, it looked like Peyton Watson was at the five. I mean, they were just kind of jumbled. There was not a lot of continuity. Nobody kind of knew what they were doing. But even just if they were confused about what assignments were or what their role should be, at some point, like in a game like that, you should be able to just fall back on just your general basketball sense and the way to just play basketball. Both he and Peyton Watson were just after the, you know, the all of the credit we gave them over the last several games, just to have this level of a drop off is just like so disappointing.
Back to back A plus games from Christian Braun, and then straight F tonight. I would just straight F. And you know, look, maybe some of that, like, those guys aren't stars, man. They're going to come back to earth a little bit. But all told, this was a rough bench effort. And then part of it was, like Dev pointed out too, weird to go to no center. And then you had Reggie and Colin as your two options. And I've talked a lot about how good Reggie has been when Jamal's been out all season and how he deserves credit for that. And I was really confident in that take. And my God, did it age poorly tonight. The well dried up for sure. Just in that particular context, in a step up game, Reggie was 5 of 14. And I thought dreadful defensively. And yep. Look, he's been really good in that opportunity all season long. And tonight that magic ran out. And like the Reggie and the bench were the rest of the bench. I know Reggie started were just not good tonight.
Here's the thing about the bench. Cause you were saying you fall back on your general basketball understanding or whatever, or instincts. I don't think it's that. Those guys, there's one thing that's more important from them than everything else. And that's energy. They just have to be energy. And tonight was a lifeless night, right? From the Nuggets. So who do you count on to bring some life? Like, that should be your bench. You remember the days of Kenneth Faried? You remember the days of some of those Birdman, you know, some of the Nuggets? It was like you would see a first 5-6 minutes of a game and you'd be like, man, there's no energy. Oh, here comes Manimal's going to the bench. He's doing his thing. He's getting ready. And it's like, all right, he's going to inject some life into this. He's going to get the crowd going. You're at home. You're going to get that. That has to be on the minds of a Peyton Watson and a Christian Braun. And instead, in that second quarter when the wheels first came off for the game and they fell behind by 11, it was offensive rebounds. Sunsec got like 3 second chance points in a row. They have to be a lineup that their mentality is nobody gets second chance points on us, especially guards. Like Royce O'Neal had a second chance points again. Has to be, we don't allow that. That's not who we are. So to me, that's the thing about the bench that is so frustrating is they do have one primary job and they bring it so inconsistently. We're only 2 games removed from Malone calling out Peyton Watson for, hey, we need this from you. Had that for a couple games and then you needed it tonight and it just wasn't there. So Christian, the Booth boys, the Project Dynasty, to me, it's just, that's the one thing you want to see. There's 9 games left. I just hope all 9 of them feature like high intensity from those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you talk about, you know, the remaining 9 games, I mean, you didn't really mention it or talk on it. Do you think we see that lineup or anything close to that lineup?
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it would be one thing if, yes, like the scoring, okay. It's a hard lineup to score on and you got Reggie there. But second chance points is what killed him. To me, I don't care if it's a 5-man bench lineup or if it just is any lineup that features those 2 guys. It should be like they should be the one getting second chance points.
Yeah, the reason I asked that is because it seems like with that unit that they had, that is your high-energy unit. That is the unit to try to get you to get back in the game. And you talk about second chance points. They went without a center. So yeah. they like conceded the fact that it was not going to be about rebounds or second chance opportunities, but like trying to bring some life. So I think that played into the fact of going without a center. But they did not have that energy in this game. So do you just go away from it completely and go back to like a traditional big down there, or do you try to like bring some life to that unit with different type of matchups?
It's an interesting question. Actually,
for the record, I would love to never see that lineup again, personally.
Well, I don't think you're going to see that lineup.
Well, that's kind of what I mean. Just doesn't need. I thought of, you know, it's honestly okay to me that they tried some stuff and it didn't work out, but
right.
I don't need to see it again. And that one's not gonna change anything in these final 10 games or whatever, and it's certainly not gonna make appearance in the playoffs. So to me, like, what is the point? You know, yeah. What's the point?
You try. By the way, if you recall, this is what happened with Julian Strother, and I'm not trying to put this on him, but when you play a full bench lineup, it means he's in there as yeah. well. And this happened a lot at the beginning of the year. If you remember, 4 minutes minus 10, it's got true, killed. Man. And I don't think it's his fault. It's just that that's how you get him in, as you go to an all bench lineup and then it sucks. So unfortunately for him, he's the one that got. Anything else on the Brown or Watson? Are we already through them? Gillespie, do you have a Gillespie thought? He actually was okay tonight, but
he was okay and he was awful in equal parts. He had atrocious 3-point shots.
He had that air ball.
He had the air ball. That's what feels really bad.
That one was really bad. But then he had another. Like, it's just no confidence in his shot. No, I mean, but I whatever. I
this game is just, it's hard to analyze this
it
game.
It is hard to analyze it.
It's so hard.
I feel bad for Colin in a game like tonight where he does have the floor. It's a nationally televised game. He has the opportunity to show, if not the Nuggets front office, the front office of a bunch of other NBA teams that he can play in this league. And, like, I don't know that he showed that tonight.
Yeah.
With a young player, it's like a big part of it is about momentum. I feel like Christian Brown had been playing so well the last couple of games that the momentum was up. He missed the layup that Jokic gave him. Energy was shot from there. Confidence was down.
That stuff matters.
And it really does matter, especially with the young player that's playing alongside Nikola Jokic. And you want to, like, make big plays in these type of games. But you just saw the energy go out as soon as that happened. And that was very early in the bench units. Like, that was, like, still the stagger with Jokic still on the court. So you want Christian to just forget those type of plays. Continue to play hard and try to make some type of impact in the game in ways that we've been seeing lately. You miss a layup, it's okay. You're going to have these type of games. And this bench unit is going to have bad games. But it's like, that's why we keep talking about the energy level. That's why we keep talking about just trying to get some type of momentum going for the starters to come back in, and they just lack that.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. On the other side, we don't have a show tomorrow, so let's talk about now that Timberwolves game means a little extra. The Thunder lost tonight. Could have been a great setup, but instead, they're going to have to do it the hard way. Classic Nuggets. So we'll start to prepare for that game on the other side.
Alternatively, it does help still that the Thunder lost tonight. Alternatively, Miller Lite. Am I excited to tell you guys about Miller Lite. Tell you about Miller. You already know about Miller Lite. It's been around forever, and you know that it hasn't changed. They don't change. You know it's always Miller Time, and you know just what Miller Time tastes like. You know what consists of. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller Time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/DNVR, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. That's a light beer. That's a delicious light beer. What time is it? Yeah, it's Miller Time. It's Miller Time. It's also time to get unordinary, because it's never ordinary at Bet365. They don't do ordinary there. They believe every sport should be epic. Right now, new customers can choose between two offers when they open an account at Bet365 and use the code DNVR365 at sign up. Deposit $10 and choose between either a bet and get offer, place a bet of $5 or more and get $150 in bonus bets, or a first bet safety net offer by placing a bet up to $1,000. And if your qualifying bet loses, you receive a matched refund in bonus bets. You do have to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado. Please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
We back? We never asked this question. Is it a bad matchup? So the Suns can shoot a lot of threes. I do think they're a very difficult team for Denver to guard. It's weird asking it on this game. There was no Nurkic, no Murray. Like, what is this? But I'll ask it anyway.
Nope.
That's two times Denver's lost at home now to the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah. And Suns fans should be better about that, should feel better about that than if their team lost to the Nuggets.
Yeah.
It's two wins in Ball Arena. You know, the Nuggets, the Suns should feel like they are particularly up for these Nuggets games because of how the series went, because of what they're fighting for still in the regular season. Of teams that are fighting for the plan, sure, they have a lot of talent. Having said everything I just said, start the series tomorrow.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 times. Nuggets over Suns. I am not moved. I am not afraid. I am not worried. We could start tomorrow. Nuggets healthy, Suns healthy. Who do you think's winning? It's very, very simple for me.
Yeah, I mean,
they shoot threes.
They do shoot threes. The Nuggets.
They actually don't take a ton of threes, but tonight they did, made a lot.
The Nuggets can also shoot threes. They didn't do any of that tonight. You said it best. It's insane to look at this after this matchup because it's just such a strange. This game was just strange in so many ways. No, I mean, I'm not. The Suns don't make me nervous at all. They make me nervous for, there would be another five, six game series. I mean, they are good enough to take two games off Denver, I think, in a series for sure. I don't think anything's changed as far as that's concerned. But it's just, you know, you just get a different Nikola Jokic when the chips are down. And Nikola Jokic didn't quite appear tonight. He's obviously the greatest player. He played a good game for most people. He played a terrible game for Nikola Jokic. A motivated Nikola Jokic, it's just, this looks completely different, a game like this.
Yeah, I mean, every team has their nights, and this was like the Suns' night. It's going to be tough for Denver to beat any team without or any good team without Jamal Murray, where the matchup just kind of plays into, like, we're going to just try to make anybody but Jokic beat us. I do think that he could have been a bit more aggressive in this game, and in a playoff setting, he will. But that Suns team, like, they're a tough matchup for anybody. That's why they're talked about so much. They have three guys that can score at any time, and anytime a new guy can, like, be the guy of the night. Tonight was Kevin Durant's night. He was very efficient. Next game, it could be Bradley Beal. Next game after that could be Devin Booker. So, yeah, they're tough, but, I mean, I like Denver's chances. We've seen what it looks like when they're both in a playoff atmosphere with it all on the line. So, I like it, but you can't say that that's not a tough matchup.
Yeah.
I can. It's not a tough matchup.
But you can't mean it. You can say it, but you can't mean it.
100%. I feel the exact same way as I did in the series last year. I think their ceiling's two wins.
I feel probably more like Vogt does. I mean, here's the thing about the Suns. They're very comfortable playing their game, and tonight the Nuggets let them play their game. I think that's the biggest difference about a playoff series is we're talking about passive Jokic. I just think he's trying to punish them more. I mean, look, they got away with playing five out small ball with Thad Young tonight. They got away with it. Denver can't win a series when you allow a player of Thad Young's caliber to guard Jokic. And tonight, I think Jokic allowed it to guard him. But typically, I think that's not going to happen. So that's why I don't think it's... That's why I just have such supreme confidence. Or it's one of the reasons I have supreme confidence. But I will say, one thing that sucked tonight is I just wanted to see P-Watt, CB, make an impact on some of those guys, and they didn't. In fact, they kind of didn't make an impact at all. And that's one of the things you hope. If there's an Achilles heel for the Nuggets in this playoffs, it's their bench. It's that you need those guys to be able to step into the role. And it's not going to be a five-man bench. It's probably only going to be two or three bench guys at a time alongside a Murray or a Jokic or an AG or whatever. So you didn't get that tonight, but I still wish I would have seen them like just guard in a way. I guess you got the Christian Brown block on Bradley Beal and ISO that one time. So that was, you know, one nice play that I wish we had a little bit more. All right, let's turn our attention now to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So tonight, quick ATA, the Thunder lost to the Rockets in overtime. They've been winning. I'm actually surprised because that was a back-to-back for them with travel in between. Goes to overtime. So, you know, the Thunder continue to impress me with, even in a loss, I'm still impressed
that they were kept that close. And no SGA in that game as well, I believe.
SGA didn't play tonight?
I believe he did not play.
Yeah, no, he was out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And so for them to be that close, man, like, I don't think I'm underestimating the Thunder, but maybe I am because they keep getting these impressive wins. Nonetheless, they lost tonight. So Denver had a chance to create some real separation and really make things easy for themselves. They did not. But Friday now against Minnesota, I feel like Jamal has to come back. I feel like they have to come out and play. If they play like this tonight, they're going to lose to Minnesota. So I feel like this elevates the stakes for that Minnesota game.
Definitely, and I hope that they take that to heart. Like, this is where you're going to find out the actual motivation level of the Denver Nuggets. Like,
you think we'll see the real Nuggets Friday?
We'll see how much they care. We're getting a lot of, at this point, it seems like lip service about, like, wanting the number one seed. We're hearing it from multiple players and coaches. Tonight, they didn't show us that they actually wanted the number one seed. We're going to find out very clearly if this is an actual thing that they are motivated by when they come out against the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, yes, Jamal needs to come back. I hope that tonight, as we hypothesized in the pregame show, is just more precautionary than anything, that, you know, he would have been able to play had it been a deeply meaningful game. But you know, we're fixing to find out where their head's at. You know, even if they do drop tonight, they drop tomorrow. I mean, we'll just get back to the place where we're talking about them like we were. All down the stretch last season, where it's like, all right, whatever, they don't care. They're going to have to flip the switch and it matters, blah, blah, blah. I hope that we don't switch into that because I want them to make this season meaningful. I want them to, I don't even know if it's possible anymore, I want them to get the season win total for this franchise. Like, this should be a special season for them. And, you know, for them to just kind of, like, let it slip away because they get lazy down the stretch. You understand it, but I just hope that's not the case.
Yeah. There's been some pretty impactful games throughout the year. None will be like that one because there's so much on the line, especially if you bring back a Jamal. Like, it shows how serious it is, and I think that that plays into why he did not play today, because you just get that much insurance. But I think that Friday's game truly matters because yep. you're not only going for the number one spot, but if you lose that one, you could fall down to three, which is like big on playoff seeding and how they play throughout the entire playoffs.
Agreed, Dev.
You do want and you should want home court advantage if you have the ability to get that without pressing like too much. But it's going to be a playoff game for them as well, and they're down a guy. So I really do think that this is a game that we'll see them feel like it's a playoff atmosphere, go into it with a real rotation, and you really get to see how much that means for them.
You don't have anything else to add to this Minnesota Timberwolves conversation?
I think Dev was spot on, so I just didn't want to repeat him. But I think that game is huge for all the reasons he said. And to be honest, you'd love to win them all. You go and you win that one. We're not thinking too much about this one.
Right.
It does help that the Thunder lost too. I mean, it's
gun to your head. Do you think the Nuggets come out really hard in that game? Like, do you think yes. that's an A-plus effort from yes, the Nuggets?
I do.
Friday night?
Yes.
Okay.
And I also think Malone gets to rip into them between now and then.
I don't think Malone actually rips into him, though. I think Malone rips into the pressers.
I think Christian and Peyton hear it when they need to.
I think they hear it when they need to. They rip into them. Gun to your head, do they have a great effort on Friday?
I mean, I'm going to say I don't know. I'm not.
You're going to just... The gun to your head, you're not even going to answer?
I'll say... Well, I mean,
you got to answer!
Can we even shoot him for this?
Have you ever seen Saw?
Have I ever saw scene?
Have you seen Saw?
Seesaw.
Have I seesawed? Yeah, dude. No, I've not seen Saw. I don't like horror movies. I don't like bloody movies.
What genre is that? Is that slasher?
It's like a thriller.
Thriller?
Yeah, whatever.
Slasher.
But I was sure that they would have come out with that effort tonight. And I'm now a little nervous that we're going to get the worst version of the Nuggets going down the stretch.
Four seed? Oh, come on.
Which I thought I really just thought we were beyond that. But tonight spooked me a little bit. I'm a little spooked.
Well, hold on. You've been holding steadfast that they're going to be the one seed. What about, are you shaky on that now?
I'm not. I mean, listen. Like, I have the utmost faith that they are spiritually the one seed.
That's right.
It's up to them whether or not they will strive for it. They have every opportunity. They are in the perfect position. The Thunder have faltered, and they just. I hate the effort they gave tonight, and so I don't know. Like, they should win. They should have won tonight. So, I don't know. Please take that gun away from my head. I don't know how to answer. Fine.
You bored us enough that we'll take the gun.
You have to make a prediction. Are they playing great on Friday?
Yes. I really do think that Jamal was capable of playing today. And they were like, they looked at it and said, hey, it's okay. Like, we do not have to play you in this one because we want you ready for that Minnesota game. There really is a lot riding on that, especially with both teams winning tonight. You don't want to fall down to three. Even if you're not pushing for that one seed, you don't want to go to three and then, like, chance it to fade. And then also, if you get into a rhythm and playing back, maybe you drop down to four. That's not where the Nuggets want to be. And it diminishes, like, the season that you have. So I do think that they respond or at least play well in that game.
Four is almost impossible. I mean, there's only nine games to go, and they're five up. So four is almost impossible. But one, two, and three right now are all tied in the loss column, 22 losses.
Three is rough.
Three's rough, and it would be rough, especially when you had it in your fingertips. So,
they're also currently in first place. I understand it's slim. I'm just saying.
Well, right now, just all that matters is losses. Teams can make up wins. You can't make up losses. They all have 22 losses. So going into Friday, they all have 22 losses. That's the only point. Let's take a break. On the other side, Harrison Wynn is setting up from Ball Arena to share some insights for us.
Okay, let's do it. Factor meal kits. Eating is better. It's easier. Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're always fresh. They're never frozen meal. They're chef crafted. They're dietitian approved, and they're ready to go in just 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there's more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. 2 minute meals, no prep, no mess, flexible for your schedule. Just sign up and save, baby. Head to factormeals.com/nuggets50. That's factormeals.com/nuggets50 so that we can give you 50% off at Factor Meals. They're changing the food game. You can change your life with our friends at Factor. Strange things are afoot, guys, at the Circle K, like the Inner Circle Rewards Program. I did not know Circle K has a membership. I do now. It's free. It's easy to download. You could use the QR code right there on the screen. Tons of sweet deals. Your first five Phillips are 25 cents off a gallon. Your first five Polar Pops are free. And every sixth item on several items are free, such as pizza, roller grill, dispensed beverages, donuts, and more. But wait, there's more. Get a free any size Polar Pop from Colorado's Circle K's by texting DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to the number 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Sign up with the QR code on the screen or visit www.circlek.com/innercircle for more information.
Alrighty, we are back. Do we want to hit some super chats while we wait for Wynn to set up here? Sicko super chatting on a loser's lounge, especially a disappointing loser's lounge. Is Wynn here? Yeah, all right, let's go to Wynn. There he is, Harrison.
Boom.
We're having a Nuggets-esque kind of night tonight. How about you?
I'm not having a great night either. Well, I will say, not a great night.
Okay, well, walk us through what happened in the locker room after the game.
Yeah, well, we just spoke to Michael Malone and Michael Porter. And, you know, Michael Malone hit on two things after this one. The offensive rebounding and the three-point shooting. He said offensive rebounding has been by far our Achilles heel since the break. That didn't go great tonight. And then on the three-point shooting, you know, Denver shot 10 of 40 from three in this one. Way more threes than they usually take in a game. And Michael Malone said, look, like, we got good shots. You got to make those shots. They doubled Nikola. We got quality looks from three. You know, the fourth quarter defense he called outstanding, but it was really just the offensive rebounding and the fact that Denver missed a lot of open threes were the two things he kind of pointed to. He also talked about the transition opportunities that Denver didn't convert. The Nuggets were 1 of 8 tonight on transition opportunities, and he hit on that as well. And then I also asked him about the lineup that the Nuggets debuted tonight, a new lineup in game number 71 of the season with Peyton Watson at the five. He said they talked about it this morning at shoot around and said, look, if they're going to go small with Bol Bol at the five and no Nurkic tonight, we might go really small and go to Peyton Watson there. I thought it was a disaster. Michael Malone said, like, the numbers don't look good, but he actually didn't mind how that lineup played, it seemed like.
Yeah, all right. It's an interesting perspective. But
the reason they went to it was because he did not want to play Aaron Gordon at the five too much. He ended up going to it in the second half, of course. But it doesn't really sound like DeAndre Jordan was in the cards at all tonight with how small Phoenix was going with no Nurkic. So that was their default go-to.
Okay.
And then we spoke to Michael Porter as well. And look, he said tonight was an uncharacteristic offensive night for us. We could have made more shots for sure. I missed some shots. Reggie missed some shots. Nikola missed some shots. And he also said Frank Vogel's a really good defensive coach, and they were rotating really well, you know, taking away cutting lanes, stuff like that. So he kind of applauded the Suns for their game plan tonight. And he also said, look, that's a really potent offensive team, and we held them to 104 points. We held Devin Booker to 17 points, and it really came down to just the lack of threes that he hit. Or that the Nuggets hit. And then he also was asked about his brother. First time he's commented on that. And he said, look, basically, I know as much as you guys know. I know how excited he was to play for the Raptors, so I doubt he'd do anything to put that in jeopardy.
How did he seem answering that question, though? I have to imagine that this is quite a distraction for him.
You know, I always applaud MPJ for, like, stepping up to the microphone and just kind of speaking what's on his mind. It seemed like a really organic answer. It seemed really just genuine. He wasn't, like, really afraid to talk about it or anything. He just kind of said, like, I know my brother. I've known him for a long time. And, you know, I know how excited he was to get this opportunity with Toronto. And like I said, he said, I doubt he'd do anything to put that in jeopardy. So it wasn't like a PR answer or anything like that. It just seemed kind of genuine.
Yeah. Huh. Well, what do you make real quickly? What do you make of this loss? Like, what is your takeaway from why did Denver lose tonight?
So my takeaway from this loss is Phoenix wanted the Nuggets to become a three-point shooting team, which Denver is not. Their game plan forced the Nuggets to take 43s, and the Nuggets kind of let that happen, I feel like. Like, they let Phoenix make them into a three-point shooting team, and that's kind of just what happened. I think Denver's a little more susceptible this year to getting outscored just because they've been so streaky from three. I feel like they're streakier from three than they were last year. And like a team like the Suns, even though they only put up, you know, 104 tonight, they outscored the Nuggets because they went cold. So I feel like Denver kind of played right into Phoenix's game plan. And I wonder if the playoffs, instead of just Nikola Jokic passing it out to Colin Gillespie because it's the right play to make, I wonder if he just scores and takes it into Eubanks' chest instead.
At a lock, yes. But didn't happen tonight. All right, Wind. Well, good stuff. Anything else?
That's all I got.
I'm safe, buddy. All right, let's finish up these super chats and get out of the loser's lounge. It smells in here.
Tucker Rivera, all three of our losses post All-Star game have come against KD Luka. Can't tell if I should be concerned or excited that nobody else can beat us. Thoughts?
I'm telling you guys, I'm doubling down on my Mavs take. I just think they're good. To me, the Mavs are the only team. It's going to be Nuggets, Mavs, Western Conference Finals. We're going to keep talking. All these other storylines are fun for now, but that's where this settles up.
And then Bashir Daoud,
our guy.
Super chat Hall of Famer at this point. Halfway in the third, Jokic had 5 rebounds. One every 6 minutes.
I'm telling. The Nuggets just weren't up for this. They just weren't up for
There's so many markers that you're like, what?
Yoke took 5 threes.
We've grown and burst our bubble, guys, we see more and more, you know, fans of other teams hanging out during our shows and watching. And a common denominator I see is people go, whenever the Nuggets lose, you guys say, well, they just didn't play their game. You know what? That's what happens when you go 16-4 on route to a title. You establish yourself as the team that when they play their best, beats the best. Right. And honestly, like when the Nuggets start looking bad because of function and process, we'll call it out. But the reality is, if the Nuggets had to win this game tonight, I'm saying 10 out of 10 times they do.
Yeah. And we're right.
That's just it.
We're just right. That's what that trophy means.
Well, there's one. Mullet just chimed in again. Someone just yelled, it smells like hot dog outside. Look, I trust him come playoff time, but we need to have a serious discussion about Jokic's stubbornness in staying passive when his teammates can't buy a bucket, especially that first half. 5 shots against Eubanks, terrible.
Yeah.
$20 from a stray, so you know what?
Hold on. There's no way you're reading this.
Told you guys.
I can see about one word. I might need glasses.
5555-ish. D-line jinxed us when he said.
We already read that one.
I'm sorry. You're right.
D-line, no, read it again. It's good. D-line's fault.
Let's read it again.
D-line's fault.
D-line jinxed us when he said we'd win our 10 games straight. The Shangoon-less Houston Rockets now have a bigger winning streak than any Jokic team ever. The NBA is weird sometimes. I love that stat.
It is the dumbest stat of the Jokic era that we can't put together a 10-game winning streak. Oh, my God. Unbelievable. So annoying.
It's annoying.
Jalen Green can, though. How's that feel? Jalen Green can, man.
He's the best.
Jalen Green can lead the team. Best. Dylan Brooks. And Jalen Green, that's a 10-game winning streak right there.
Now that they have Thompson in that.
Oh, that's right.
BJ Malaise still in first place. This hurts, but we'll be okay. Completely right. Different Jeff tone Green, from this next one.
Funky, not with Yoke.
Funky Daddy Project, $20 to say the Suns have our number. Denver Ghost dropped $5 to say thank you, DNVR crew, for being here after that disaster class. Suns and four guy, catch me outside. Outlier game for the Suns. We played into and it's that simple. We played into it and simple. Nuggets wins.
Jock Landale, 10-game win streak.
Oh, man. Nuggets Jock wins. Landale. No Murray this year. 48-34 pace last 2 years versus 57-25 with Jamal Murray. 25-14 in the playoffs since 2020. With versus 5-10 without. Big Yoke fan, but see too much Murray hate in these chats. So super dope hip hop making a good point here statistically about how important Murray is.
No, he's very success. No, he's very important. Murray is very important. Would have been nice.
Cedric Exquisite.
Jayshon Tate.
Hashtag Suns still. Nugget. Hashtag Suns still suck. But they too bad they still have no Chip. Nadine Marcus, I do believe the Nuggets will be a very fine team once again when Murray returns. When do you think that will happen?
Friday,
like Friday.
Were you talking about the looks of the Nuggets? Like they become?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Cool.
I love the day to day, the living and the dying by game.
I know. Well, this is the problem with this year.
Oh, check ahead.
This is honestly the story of this year: is you're not living and dying by each game, and it's actually less fun in that way. It'd be more fun if we were like, oh, the Suns, what is going on? But
except for that, this stage last year was a miserable.
You know what? It's all misery, except for that end when we win.
So sick.
Joe Clem, we needed a Ryan Bowen energy injection tonight. Awkward face. And then Tucker Rivera. All three of our losses post All-Star game have come against KD and Luka. Oh, we already did that, one.
The thing about Ryan That's Bowen, you get to cue that outro music there. The thing about that Ryan Bowen era is that Ryan Bowen, when he was younger, looked exactly like he does now. Don't think that he's aged into looking like a non-NBA player. He looked exactly like that and would check into the game.
Well, that's
and then like, run out there and dive on the floor and do goofy stuff.
Well, that's like our guy Joe Folks. They used to players looked different back in the day. Sure. Players looked very different.
Dude, everyone used to be so much older.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dude. Really, yeah. Even the young guys.
Oh my God. The greatest thing is watching a show from the 50s like Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
Like his parents are like 30.
Yeah, yeah. They're way younger than you think. Yeah,
and they look 50.
They look 90.
How old was Uncle Phil in the show?
In what? Uncle Phil? Oh, in...
Can you guys figure this out later? I have to go home.
I wanted to know how old was Uncle Phil in Fresh Prince? Let's get an answer. 45.
Oh, 45. Yeah, I would have guessed
literally my age.
I would guess 62.
That is literally my age. Me, Uncle Phil, coming in as a decorated lawyer.
Like, Eric, your youthful energy is deeply appreciated.
Not by me.
Everybody, sickos only tonight. Thanks for hanging out with us. Nuggets lose. Who cares? We'll see you on Friday.
Yeah.
We all silly like the mayor.